Thank you very much, by the way.
You got it. I was going to play with them, but they said I was too old. I want you to hear the word of the Lord this morning. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The word of the Lord. If you have a New Testament, I would ask you to turn there in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, as we continue our series. I needed a little extra caffeine this morning, so I went and got a big thing of tea at our cafe or whatever we call that over there. And so I was rummaging through the teas. What is this? Pastor Ty and I work really hard to try to keep you guys awake on Sunday morning. And I'm rummaging through the teas and there's Bigelow Sweet Dreams Herbal Tea. And take this moment just for you, chamomile tea. It's called cozy chamomile for those quiet moments before you sleep. What's going on? So if any of you have this in your cup today, throw it away. We're going to start serving double espressos just to make sure you stay awake. All right. By now, of course, you know of that, right? That is the latest, and they're saying the last Beatles song, Now and Then. You know the story, right? It just came out. It's number one all over the world again. And what they did was they took a demo from John Lennon that he made in 1977, and with modern technology, because it wasn't a very good demo at all, it was just a little cassette tape, and you could hear all sorts of sounds. And with modern technology, they lifted his voice out of it, made it sound just really crystal clear. And then they had a little bit of Harrison's guitar. Harrison's also gone, you know, so because they tried this a few years ago. They had a little bit of Harrison's guitar, and then Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr got together and put the band together to make the last Beatles song, which, by the way, this is a very Beatles drum set. I don't know if you know that. Ringo only had one tom, just like this, just so you know. So all that to say, so they came together and they put together that final song, Now and Then. And Ringo was even, I heard Ringo interviewed the other day, and he said, hearing John's voice and George's guitar so clearly, it was like we were all working together again. It made me think, I remember hearing this quote. It made me think of this quote by Steve Jobs. The model for business is the Beatles. They were four guys who kept each other's kind of negative tendencies in check. They balanced each other, and the total was greater than the sum of the parts. That's how I see business. Great things in business are never done by one person. They're done by a team of people. The total is greater than the sum of the parts. That's right. That's true. It's good. It sort of reminds me, you remember Jack Johnson's song, 20 years ago, Better Together. That's what it's saying. It's better together. And it's true. It's true in work. It's true in church. It's true in relationships. Better together, greater together than the sum of the parts. If you want to get married, that's part of marriage. If you are married, that is marriage. It has to be, right? Are you married? Are you complementing each other, or are you competing against each other? Are you pulling together, or are you pulling in opposite directions? In this marriage concert, there's no room for soloists. Nobody's allowed to sing in their own key. You're better together. The total is greater than the sum of the parts. Recently, it was several years ago, I read a book called Team of Rivals. Do you know it? Doris Goodwin wrote the book. And the book is all about Abraham Lincoln, how he became president, and then his early years before the Civil War, or actually even during the Civil War. But the Team of Rivals is all about how Abraham Lincoln surrounded himself. And it's so different from our polarized society today. Abraham Lincoln surrounded himself and relied upon Edward Bates, Solomon Chase, William Seward. Why is that important? Those were his opponents. Those were his great opponents as he ran for president. They were his rivals, and now he made them part of his cabinet. And that powerful team of rivals, in many ways, rescued our country at a crucial time. Better together. The total is greater than the sum of its parts. It's true in every walk of life. And it is what Christ has always intended for his followers, for his church, and for Trinity today even. We're in this series called Lasting Fruit. Just 3 weeks. It's a very brief series. Ty started it last week. Jesus talked about we will produce fruit that lasts. And my first thought about it is, well, that's kind of odd. Fruit doesn't last. And does he want us to produce plastic fruit? And some churches are really good at that. Sorry. Even thinking back to last week, we learned Christ is the vine. He gives the whole picture of a vineyard. Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. And collectively, as branches, we bear fruit of lasting change, fruit of eternal impact in people's lives. And like a vineyard, like a vine and vineyards, they are meant to go together. Some of you know that my family have vineyards in Italy. Actually, it's my cousins. If you would ever go there, if you go to the website, sartorellivineyards.com, I think it is, you'll see all kinds of beautiful pictures. And what you see, however, is that the vines and the branches are all working together. If you ever go to a restaurant and you order a red wine called a Super Tuscan, Super Tuscan means they've taken various grapes from Tuscany that are a little bit different, but they bring them together to form a glass of wine that is unlike others because they're working together. That's what working together, that's what better together is all about. When you walked in this morning, if you came in through the gathering space, you saw a bunch of trellises. Trinity is one small, tiny little corner in the vineyard of God's world. If you look carefully at those trellises, you will see some names. You'll see some of your names that are there working together. Those trellises could be many more if it was the whole church, but they represent our next generation ministries. They represent our children's as well as our teens. And some of you are better together, working together for those teams. Thank you for that. Part of the goal of this brief series, just part of the goal, is to call some of you that aren't on that trellis to serve and to teach and to mentor in our children's areas, in our teens' areas, because that's the lasting fruit that matters generation after generation after generation. And I even think as we go to build the new section on the back of this building, the hub, man, is that the both teens and children's ministry are going to be humming. But in order to be humming, we got to do it together. And many of us that are not on that trellis need to be sooner than later. Here we go with John 15. As a vine has many branches and they work together to produce a fine wine, as a team of political opponents work together to salvage what's happening to a breaking country, as four musicians get together to form a band to produce timeless music, so the church together are called, are gifted, and collectively produce fruit that lasts. This happened what this weekend, what happened with teenagers, with the Cedarville students, and you, some of you leaders, that's going to be fruit that lasts. What's happening in our children's classes right now is fruit that lasts. In all of our areas, we don't meet just to meet. We meet to be better together and build the life of Christ into all of us. That's what Jesus was going for in John chapter 15. He's telling them, I am about to go away. And in many ways, he's saying, don't blow it. All of you together will be faithfully working hard to produce fruit that lasts. And here we are, a church 2,000 years later, because they didn't blow it, because the fruit that they produced continued generation after generation after generation. This morning, I want to do five things. We can look at John, Paul, George, and Ringo as a band together, and we can look at them individually and say, how did they work together? We can look at Bates and Chase and Seward and Lincoln and say, how did they work together? And we can look at a group of disciples of Jesus Christ and say, what makes for a fruitful disciple? What makes for a healthy branch? That's what we're going to do. So we're going to look at this passage. We're going to be in John 15, verses 7 through 11, and we're going to look at five characteristics of healthy branches. Okay? Here we go. Here's the first one. The first characteristic, as we look at how do the branches work together? Well, the branches, each of them, to be healthy, have to be a praying branch, huh? A praying disciple. Here's what Jesus says. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And immediately you hear that and you might think, woohoo, blank check. Ask whatever we wish. This is awesome. We get whatever we want. Not quite the point. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. The key word is remain. If you remain in me and I in you, the idea is this. The branch is so intimately connected to the vine that what it needs and what it produces comes directly from the DNA of the vine of which it's connected to. The Christian is so intimate with Christ and his words. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, the follower of Christ, vine and branches, is so connected intimately, so in harmony with Christ's character, with Christ's will, with Christ's mind, with Christ's words, that the prayer requests just to conform to the heart of Christ. That's what makes sense. So if you're in a relationship and you ask God that you're not married yet, Lord, bless this relationship. Of course he will. Unless it's a totally ungodly relationship, don't ask him to bless something that is completely against his mind and his character. So I'm a young lad. I go up to my dad as a young lad and say, hey, Dad, I want a cigarette. Or, Dad, I want a motorcycle, which I did both, by the way. Not happening. My dad was a medical doctor. But I knew my dad's mind well enough that I could ask, Dad, I want to go to college. No angst with that request. No hesitancy in that yes. If you abide in Christ and Christ's words abide in you, watch how your requests, your needs, your prayers line up with his heart, with his mind. On a regular basis, as pastors and elders, we get your prayer requests. Turn them in today, by the way. It's a card right in front of you. And the requests, there's all kinds of things. Often there's cancer. There is loss of job. There is prodigal children. We pray deliberately over all of those requests. Sometimes God doesn't answer them specifically the way we ask. But we know the mind and we know the will of God that ultimately is that every one of us who are followers of Christ conform to the image of his Son. And he can use any spurious thing in this world to begin developing our character and forming us into the image of his Son. And so though at times we don't know the answer of that request, we do know the ultimate will of God. And that's to form your character. And that's to turn you into the image of Christ. The first characteristic of a healthy branch is that it's praying. And it's praying successfully. That's the key word. But successfully is not the health, wealth, success. Claim it, get it, whatever they say. It's success because it's linked into the heart and mind and DNA of the vine. Well, there's a second characteristic of a healthy branch, and that it's a fruitful disciple. Key word there is other. It's a fruitful disciple. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and then you become my disciples. You never see a branch off on its own. If you do, if you're out in your yard picking up branches after a strong storm or wind, you're picking up branches that are on their own. And guess what? They're dead. Branches together stay together, and they produce fruit that's meant to point and benefit the others. So that go to Sartorelli Vineyards and you have a nice glass of wine and you think, whoa, this vineyard's awesome. You didn't say the branch was awesome. You said the vineyard was awesome. Or the one that owns the vineyard is awesome. The fruit of the branch, so now you have a nice fruit salad and you put great grapes in it. And you put it, so we like to eat them in our tuna. It's actually really good. You should try with a little bit of pecans and then some. It makes a great tuna salad. The benefit for the healthy branch is not the healthy branch. It's for the glory of the vineyard. And it's for the benefit of others. A Christian disciple's life is never meant to be a self-absorbed life. It's meant to be for the other. And that's when the church gets stuck or anemic. And American Christianity now and then goes into that, into sort of a self-help mode, a meet my needs mode. Even a let's preserve our tradition mode. Really? The other, and the benefit is meant to be upward and outward, never inward. Recently, a famous and well-published scholar in India, Dignity Freedom Network, which you know we're a part of, caught his attention. Now, this scholar, and I purposely am not giving his name because we're on video, This scholar was always a bit skeptical of the caste system of his Hinduism. But he was also more skeptical of Christianity and just sort of its Western strands influencing an East country like India. But then he started watching what the ministry was doing and how it was assisting the bottom of the caste system, no questions asked, rescuing women that were in trafficking and just doing amazing things. And he asked the questions, your God calls for that? Your people do that with no questions asked? Yeah. And he basically, in the last year or so, has said, sign me up for that. And this well-known scholar of India has given his life to Jesus Christ because it's other-centered. When we started the capital campaign for Secure the Future, for the building of the hub, there was one elderly couple from our congregation. Man, immediately, we're in, baby. And they were in, baby, with their pledges, with their enthusiasm. Now, here's the cool thing. Their grandchildren are too old for our kids' ministries. But they recognize that healthy discipleship is about the other. And it's about bearing fruit that lasts. And you always do it together. Well, there's a third characteristic of a healthy branch. And I call it a loved disciple. Keyword, aware. Verse 9 of John 15. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. Do you know that God loves you? No, not just a check the box, yeah, he loves me. No, not just a Sunday morning pat answer, yes, he loves me. Do you know that God truly and fully loves you? Doing a heart check? What is your prevailing concept of God's sentiment and disposition toward you? Is it anger? Is it disappointment? Is it scorn? Is it indifference? If I could give you anything today, I would give you a sense of your own, that God's prevailing sentiment toward you is total and utter love. I want you to be aware of God's love complete for you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. You. John Powell, Catholic priest, several years ago, actually probably 30 or 40 years ago, wrote a book called Why I'm Afraid to Tell You Who I Am. And then Powell spends several pages answering that, telling us why we might be afraid to tell you who I am. And he says this, because if I reveal myself to you, if I become completely known by you and then not loved by you, well, that's terrifying. That's debilitating. That's utterly defeating. And so I'm afraid to tell you who I am. Because you might reject that, and that's all I've got. Well, here's the Christian message, guys. God completely knows everything about you. He knows exactly who you are. And he truly, deeply, unwaveringly loves you. And there is nothing in the world you could ever do to decrease that or to increase that. I'll say it again. Christ completely knows you. Everything about you. God knows exactly who you are. And he truly, deeply, and unwaveringly loves you. All right, take a breath. This love releases us from our performances. This love removes our masks and pretending. This love humbles our religious pride and our self-righteousness. And this love takes a flamethrower to our to-do list that if we can just check it off, maybe we can earn the acceptance and love of our God. God loves you. Period. Full stop. So much so that he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. So much so that he promises to be with you until the very, very end. And what he asks healthy branches to do together, pay it forward. Pay it forward. Go and love a loveless world. Go and tell people that Christ really loves them. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. Well, how do I remain in his love? Here's the fourth characteristic of healthy branch. It's an obedient branch. Keyword, integrity. Verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Now, needs a little bit of clarity here, just like the prayer one did. Ask whatever you wish, and you just get a blank card, and you get anything you want. This almost sounds like, oh, man, we got to get back to the grindstone and keep the commands, keep the laws as best we can. This, too, is the Christian message. Just as we don't scramble and sweat bullets to earn God's love, so we don't strive tirelessly and slavishly to obey God's rules. What did he mean then? If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. It is the love of Christ. It is the Spirit of Christ that empowers our obedience and establishes our integrity from the inside out. You cannot do it by obeying laws. It's not just a simple self-discipline checking the boxes. Integrity, obeying Christ, is obeying him from the inside out. That's the beauty of love, as opposed to the tyranny of law. Christ's love abides in you. Christ's Spirit lives in you. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. There's an old ancient Greek myth of the Sirens. It's the island of the Sirens. You know what a siren is in Greek mythology? It's a rather seductive creature, half woman, half bird. And at the island of the Sirens, when sailors would sail their ship by the island, they would sing this alluring, seductive song. And those sailors on the boat would be so seduced that they would head toward the island and they would be shipwrecked on the rocks to their demise. Well, Odysseus, in one of the stories, decides he's not going to let that happen to his boat. So he and his sailors are sailing toward the island of the Sirens. And you know what he does? He puts beeswax in his ears and he ties himself to the mast so that as they're going past the island, the song, the alluring song of the sirens, will not affect him and they continue going by. And that's a lot of people's Christianity today. Let me put beeswax in my ears and covers in my eyes and let's see if I can avoid this. As the story goes on, then the ship of the Argonauts, not a Canadian football team, the Argonauts of Greek mythology, the Argonauts are now going to do the same route, and they're going to sail past the island of the Sirens. Orpheus has a better strategy than Odysseus. Orpheus is on the ship. And he brings a harp, and he begins to play music on the harp. Beautiful music, fabulous music, music that makes its way into the ears and to the souls of the sailors on board with him. So as they sail past the island of the sirens, the sailors bear no mind to the alluring songs of the sirens. They don't care because they internally in their own boat, they've heard a much beautiful song and they have avoided the danger and they've avoided the allurement. And my friends, that is Jesus' strategy for our holiness, for our obedience. He gives us his sweet love internally. He gives us his Holy Spirit, whose primary fruit is love. And that is what is to drive our lives. Unfortunately, we don't tap into that, and we put wax in our ears and cover our eyes and try to live in a holy manner. Any pagan can do that. Instead of blocking our ears, instead of plugging our eyes, we are energized by the power of his love and by his Holy Spirit, which develops in us a willful, winsome, sincere love for others. So that our goal in life isn't our own pleasure or our own objectification of other people. We love others. And our obedience now is an obedience that is meant to bear fruit. To love other people. Instead of just saying, don't commit adultery and don't murder, he changes our very hearts that out of them come his love. And my friends, I'm afraid most of Christianity has no idea about that. And instead, they plug their ears with wax and they cover their eyes with shields. And they call that holiness, and it's not. It is the love of Christ in us. It is the Spirit of Christ producing fruit. Christ's design for our obedience and integrity is not to assign us again to the prison of rules, but to woo us and empower us with a much sweeter music. The music of his love and the music of his Holy Spirit. And when that occurs, the fifth characteristic can be so real because no longer is it circumstantial. The fifth characteristic is powerful. It's the characteristic of joy. I have told you these things so that my joy might be in you and your joy may be complete. Keyword, contagious. There is something contagious about the love of a disciple. There is something contagious about the branches working together to produce fruit that lasts. And an intellectual from India can say, I want that. Joy, obedience, love, fruitfulness, and ultimately prayer. That's what characterizes our lives as disciples. And as we do that together, we will be producing fruit that lasts. For all the church, for all the world. But again, one of my focuses right now is our Next Gen Ministries. I want you to watch this.
My name is Liv Wilson, and I had the privilege of growing up at Trinity.
Hi, my name is Greg Holt. I served for 13 years in youth ministry and several years in kids ministry.
Hi, my name is James Ozinga, and I am a sophomore at Riverside High School.
Hi, my name is Ann Spinello. I teach a third grade class at 11 o'clock.
Doreen and I have been attending Trinity for 30 years, and we've had the privilege of serving in Trinity's youth ministry areas.
Hi, I'm Abby Davis. I'm 16 years old, and I've been going to Trinity for a little over 11 years now.
Hi, my name is Allie Quarle, formerly known as Allie Holt.
My name is Carissa Wardenberg, and I was blessed to be raised at Trinity Church.
God used Trinity's youth group as a launching pad for my spiritual life to take off in so many ways.
When I look back to my years at Trinity, I finally remember my time in the youth ministry.
The thing that I enjoy so much about youth group would have to be the leaders, specifically Logan, who is always there if I need anything and has really helped me grow my relationship with God.
The ministry that influenced me the most was Disciple Now or Do Now. It influenced me because I was able to talk about the gospel and the faith with Cedarville students who understand how difficult it is to grow up as a Christian follower in our world today. Meeting with them encouraged me to continue on my walk with Christ.
And I sometimes felt different from my peers and wondered if there was a place where I would ever fit in. The genuine and selfless nature of the adults that gave their time for me will always be appreciated and a blessing to me. But when I began attending Trinity's youth group, the open and welcoming nature of Annie Holt always made me feel so reassured.
I have so many parents to thank, as well as my amazing mom, who Christ uses daily to show me God's love. The Jordans, the Wilsons, the Scotts, the Schaefers, Ray Wilson, the Holts, the Grubas. Love you guys.
Our three girls grew up at Trinity, and it was so wonderful to establish relationships with our girls' friends and their parents, relationships that we are still enjoying 25 years later.
I can tell you that when my wife Annie and I felt the pulling toward youth, we were a little hesitant, but it quickly became part of our lives and something God used to bless my life as a husband and a father.
It's rewarding as I watch the children come to deeper understanding of God's word.
The kids' ministry and youth ministry at Trinity was foundational to my faith, and that it allowed me to recognize that I could use my God-given gifts to serve the Lord.
Watching their love of God increase as we learn more of His loving, compassionate nature brings me joy.
This is where I understood Jesus sacrificed Himself for me as a wretched sinner. This is where I understood His love for the first time and His holiness.
Watching them grow and serving alongside them as they became witnesses themselves was truly something.
Building a firm foundation on Christ and His Word is essential for our children as they stand firm in their faith in today's world.
I loved working with children and spent a lot of time doing childcare here and traveling to Mexico with the youth group to care for the children there. Now I'm a second grade teacher who is continuing to use those gifts to serve the next generation.
Truly a privilege to impact a child's life through teaching, prayer, and encouragement.
Even when you grow up in a Christian home, it's imperative to have other Christian adults as support and as friends.
We are grateful for the opportunity we have to be a positive influence in the lives of Trinity's youth, to be a source of encouragement and wisdom in times of trouble.
They have truly impacted my life, and I am thankful we were obedient to His calling in our lives. And they definitely keep you young.
Fruit that lasts. branches, healthy branches, working together. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for the love of Christ that is in us. Thank you for the calling that you've given to each of us to not hoard the love, the grace, the life that you have given to us, but to share it together with others, that you may be producing fruit of life that will last and last and last. Thank you for the legacy here at Trinity, and thank you for the changed lives, and I do pray that that would continue for many, many years and generations to come. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our time of worship. Thanks, guys.